It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey.
The God Journey.
Live from the God Journey Studios. Here we are.
Wow, we're here live.
We're here live. We have a studio audience.
We have a studio audience.
And international studio audience.
Now you're stealing all my jokes.
Yeah. Well, hey. You know,
it's rude.
I'm there.
That's what we get for taking two.
Hi, you're Wayne Jacobson. Who am I?
No, we've done that. I forget.
You forget? But
welcome.
Thank you.
Anyway,
we haven't gone anywhere this week.
Well.
That's good.
It's very good.
That's good.
People are coming here now, so that's much better.
I like that.
I like it, too.
So where's our guest from? Our studio audience?
Do you hear her laughing in the background?
I do.
Many of our regular God Journey listeners.
You were about to say normal.
I did. But I just said,
stop. Don't take it personally. What he meant.
I'm just normal. I can see that.
No, I was going to talk about our normal God Journey listeners, but I realized we don't have any normal listeners, so that's why I was going with...
That's good. Regular.
Regular listeners.
I'm not sure they're regular either. No offense to anyone.
Wow. This is going down.
Our wonderful God Journey listeners.
Anyway,
in podcast land,
have probably already heard a little bit about our guest today, because this is the lady I talked about meeting in Sao Paulo, Brazil when I was there. She was my translator for the personal conversations I had with people around the trip. And so Vivian Haddad, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that close? There you go. I forgot about the whole last name thing that we got right in the middle of it. Oh, got to come up with a last name. Anyway.
You just invented one, or is that her real last name?
She's going with it. Why don't you just go?
Okay. Hi, Vivian.
If she's willing to go with it, I'm willing to go with it.
I want to know,
what was translating for this guy like?
Oh, really?
I want to just cut to that.
You want to go right to that? Anyway, this is Vivian. She was my translator down there, and she's come up to the States for about a two-week trip to visit some friends and family, and she made time to come out to L.A. and spend some time with Sarah and me.
You're so special.
We're glad she's here. Welcome, Vivian.
I'll try to be glad to be here.
Ooh, I like her already.
Snarky early.
I want to know, what was it like translating for this guy?
We had a week of this. We had a week of this down there.
But I asked her. Stop.
It was very painful.
Quiet.
I'm not going to stop.
It was very hard.
Was it?
Yes. We had fire all over the place. He was shooting me. I was shooting him. It was very hard.
Ooh, banter back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah, I get that.
I didn't remember the fire, but I do remember the banter. A little bit of banter.
I remember a lot of sarcasm.
He has a gift of snarkiness.
He does.
He does. Is there a word for snarky in...
Do you guys know I'm in the room?
I want to talk about you. I want to know about her. I want to talk about the goods on you.
Deprecating ways. I'm in pain over here. You just forget.
So he makes his comments. How do you translate them?
I would change them.
You change them?
A little bit. A little bit.
Did you make them nicer, meaner?
Sweeter. I would make them sweeter.
Ah, we need you around here.
I would make them sweet and easy on the ears. And
see, that's what I couldn't figure out when I got back from Brazil. I couldn't figure out, people liked me when I was there.
Yes, they wanted you to come back.
After that, something happened.
You need to travel with the translator.
You
just pretend you're in a foreign language.
Trust the translator, and they're going to make you nicer than you really are. And then people are going to want you to come back and visit again. And it's just too much work.
Yes.
You ever met a guy like him?
No.
I haven't either.
No, so I've never.
Good or bad?
No, I think it's good. He's unique.
Yes. People would say, oh, I have a question. And he would say, well, I don't really want to answer the question. I'm like, he can't wait to hear
he
the
does
question.
That in English,
but that was
too.
All in Portuguese. That was no más pregunta.
No, until you learn that. You learn that on the last days. On the beginning, you haven't learned that yet.
Go with me on this. Go with me.
Now I've got. I'm honest.
Tell the truth.
I'm being honest. People still love you. They want you to come back.
That's why I told her that Vivian's just like my own daughter.
How?
She's brutal.
How would you describe the impact of the time that you guys had? I mean, you were there for what, 2 weeks?
1 week.
1 week.
1 week? 10 days?
Yeah, just a week.
1 week.
Yeah, it was not even a week.
It was life-changing.
Why?
Just so many truths about God that we had never seen before. So many new things and...
And I don't even know what they were because she was making them up.
That's awesome, man.
She's got a gift, I guess.
That's amazing.
I've never received such good email.
I felt so important because I could say whatever I wanted and they would think that Wayne was saying all that.
Yeah, so yes. if it ever didn't go well, you just pointed it.
Exactly. I'm just translating.
I gotta get me one of these. This is great.
Well, she didn't translate during the meetings. We had official type translators when I was speaking.
Yes. This was on the side.
This was questions all from the people, questions. Discussions over dinner, just the conversations of life.
Well, when you say things you've never heard of about God, like for instance, what impacted you?
Oh, the cross.
The cross.
The cross.
And what about the cross impacted you?
Everything. I had never seen the cross that way. I had an idea of the cross, of God never being able to be close to us because we were so bad. And all of a sudden, it's not. He just wants to be close to us and wants to take our guilt and our embarrassment away. And I lived with embarrassment all the time. I carried it all the time, my guilt for everything I did and sins that I knew they were forgiven, but I still felt so bad for them. And all of a sudden, it's not. It's none of that. God never wanted that to be with me. That didn't belong to God. God never put that on me. And all of a sudden, he just died so that I wouldn't carry that anymore. And even though I know Jesus, I was carrying it all my life. It was life-changing. Wow.
This is who I sat down with after I spoke. I got there on Friday. I think Friday morning.
Friday, yes.
And Saturday night, we were out in a retreat area with about 200 folks. And Saturday night, I just felt like, man, let's take on the cross. And to set a little context for this, no one in Brazil has read He Loves Me or listens to The God Journey or didn't even know much about LifeStream. The only thing they've had is So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore was translated into Portuguese about a year ago, I guess it was released. Maybe a year ago, maybe a little longer. And it's just sold a lot down there. It hasn't been in Christian bookstores per se. It's mostly sold out of secular ones. And a lot of people have read it, and they begin to get invitations to come down. So I get to Saturday night, and I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know anything about the He Loves Me cross stuff. And I really felt like I needed to go there. If we were going to do what we need to do Sunday, we need to go there Saturday night. So I've been translated, which is difficult anyway. I've got about 45, 50 minutes, and I'm being translated, and I'm trying to communicate the truth of the cross. And not sure at all that it had worked. Not sure, you know, trying to get feedback from the crowd. Because it was just like deer in the headlight. Like, people were just like, you can't be serious.
So when this man's a heretic. I knew it.
Yeah, that's the vibe. So when I sat down next to Vivian, I got done, I sat down, they were closing off the meeting. I just leaned over her and I said, did that make sense at all? Did that make any sense? And she didn't answer me. It was just quiet. So I wasn't looking at her. So I just turned around and looked at her. Her eyes were just filled with tears. And she just breathlessly, she said something like, if I remember it right, you said, I've never heard this before. And she just melted. And then I melted. So sitting there crying. And that kind of just hung on through the whole week. That ability, I mean, I think God, I've never seen anybody catch something that, hearing it for the first time and just a total buy-in in 10 seconds. And yet it was really important, I think, for the rest of the week for Vivian to be communicating with people things I was saying from a heart other than she was just repeating my words, but she was living those words herself.
Wow.
So that was amazing.
What was that like for you? I mean, you're hearing something you've never heard for the first time, and it's making your eyes leak. What was going on?
It was, I would say, like a little proof that God really loved me. I'm like, I just thought, oh my God, God made Wayne come all the way from the United States just because I really needed to hear this.
Wow.
Because I could never find this truth anywhere. You don't find that listening to someone or to...
It's hard to control people when all of a sudden they know they're just loved.
Yes, very. People don't take that very easily. And I don't even think they want to believe that, because then that means that you've got to trust God and God alone to know what you have to do and what you don't have to do, or what you can or what you can't. And you just have to trust God living in you. And that's very hard to do. It's very easy when you just follow what someone is telling you to do. Then you know if you're doing it right or not. You can judge yourself, I would say. So it's much easier. But all of a sudden, you have to just trust God and to live with Him and learn how to listen to Him and learn how He loves you and how He shows He loves you the entire day. And that's much harder.
What's that been like for you the last, four or five months?
It's been, it's what we talked about. It takes a long time for you to really be able to live that. But I think the biggest change in me was all of a sudden I was not carrying that. It was just in the blink of an eye. I didn't feel guilt, shame anymore. I didn't feel guilt anymore. And I could just live doing things and not wanting to do the things that I used to, not because I would feel guilty, but just because I wouldn't have any interest on them anymore. And I would just stop doing them laughing, just like a weight is off my back and that's it. So I would say that the biggest change in me after that was just that I believed it so strong on everything that I had heard there. And I could see everything that God was doing in my life and how much that week meant to me, all the things that I learned about God. And they were true. They just hit my heart. Like I was free. All of a sudden I was free from things that I believed my entire life. And it was just like, they were gone. So I could talk to people and they could see God another way. I would see the changes more in how I would talk to people about God than the things that I was really doing. I was already, like, I didn't really go to church that much. I was always following God more in my own home. But how you share God with people shows how your life really is with Him in the end. I really believed what I was saying all of a sudden. And
how did your family or friends respond? Have they noticed the difference in you? Have they commented?
Yes. In the beginning it was shocking, but as soon as Wayne left, I had this was so strong in me that I would just share it with people, and they could see I was so excited about it, and that makes all the difference when you talk to someone that really believe what they're saying and are really living what they're saying. It just makes all the difference. Everyone could see that, and spending a whole week with Wayne, you see that it's not just something he writes about or he was just talking about it because it's a good preaching way. It's just he really lived that. He meant that every single question, every single day, he would answer questions from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. and people wouldn't let him go to sleep. But still, every time he would answer the question, it was just like he was talking about that for the first time, even though people had asked them three times already on that same week. It was
and
just
she
like the first time.
Three times already.
I would translate three times.
She made that look like I could take this one.
Yeah. I could answer for you, but I think the one that's awesome. Think is coming from you.
I'm like, I know the answer to that one.
We got this down. How fun.
Yeah, so people, I'm sure they saw like the way that I was talking about it. Just I had been completely changed about that. So of course it's shocking if you're not hearing from someone that already experienced this for a long time. I had just experienced, so it was shocking for them, but I could see that they believed it too. It's life-changing. You're free all of a sudden, and if you really believe that in your heart and you ask God to confirm that, if that's really true, I want to live on that. I have many friends that now they want to hear it all the time, and they're reading the book, and we talk about it. And so little by little, I can see that God is touching other people as well.
How would you describe Brazil in terms of its spiritual condition? Is it most of it steeped in kind of a real religious mindset? What is it?
Very, very religious. We have so many denominations, I don't even know. Many, many. Just on the neighborhood that I live, we have a street that is just one church after the other, and they're all half empty. And I say, God, why? You know, couldn't we just all get together and at
you
least go
why?
To one
it's
church?
Not fun to carry that.
I'm not gonna say why. That's no
we
fun.
Can say
if
that.
I start complaining.
It's okay.
Not a problem.
So it's really religious. You have to have a pastor. You have to be part of a church. You have to do that. You have to go to Sunday meetings. You cannot get late. You have, during the week, you have to have your discipleship. You have to read that passage. You've got to know it by heart. It's just all like that. You have to, you have to, you have to. And no matter where you go, if you tell someone, yes, I believe in God, they will ask you, well, which church do you go to? None. Oh, okay. Well, then, you know,
first,
you're out of your way.
You don't.
First
yes.
church of everywhere.
Exactly. I'll pray for you.
Thank you. That's,
yes,
I just nod my head. Thank you for that.
Yes.
I think it's the same in the States. We get a lot of the same kind of feedback from people at times.
I think people still inside the church can see that you don't really depend on that. It's just that it's easier if you have someone telling you what to do.
You know, I don't think that is dependent on the culture. I think part of us, we like the clarity and we like the security, in quotes, of somebody telling us what to do. To live in freedom, while it feels great to have the guilt off your back, to have a real friendship, a real relationship, requires that sense of investment, walking it out. But for you, when you were feeling all full of guilt, did you think of God in terms of having a relationship at all?
Yes. Yes, I would think of myself having a relationship with God.
Did you like it? Did you enjoy it? Was he someone you wanted to hang out with? I mean,
yes. Yes, because I loved him. I never had the sense that he was a mean God or anything like that. This never crossed my mind. I loved him. I could see him as a God of love. But it's not that my view of God was different. It was just that the view of what he had done for me was different, at least on my case.
Yeah.
So it was just how I was relating to everything that God did to me and what I believed on and how I was living on that and how I would apply that on my life more than my idea of what God really was. So I you know that he's a God of love. You know, people tell you all the time, but it's different when you really live that, you know, and you feel it.
Wow.
I knew he loved me, and he brought Wayne all the way there just so that I could hear that.
Good job, Wayne.
She's just claiming responsibility for the whole trip. But
I'll take it. It would have been worth it if it was just me.
It would have been worth it if it was just you. And to see the change in life. She writes some of the best emails. I mean, I get email from her every month or so and month or two. And it just the expression of seeing how the conversation for her life being something mm-hmm. – as I recall in some of the emails, and I get way too many emails to keep them all straight, and if this isn't you, you can say, no, it's not me. But, no, very difficult to talk about God with friends, you know, feeling like it's more forced and artificial, like all of us, to all of a sudden friends are asking her things that bring up the God conversation. We were talking about this last night over dinner and how much it's just even being with the old friends back up in Chicago. She said, I don't even know. I'm not even trying to bring it up, but it comes up because the people around me are interested in the things that she's experiencing. And that's just really fun. Yes. I think when your life takes on those kinds of conversations, not because I'm trying to force them into the moment, but because people around me are interested in things and God comes up as a normal course of my life.
Yeah, when real life is being experienced and enjoyed, I don't know that there's anybody that doesn't find that attractive. They may not know exactly what to do, but there's a sense of, oh, I would love that. I think it's the whole burden of all the list of you know, things that you've got to do and the performance demand that it's like, that's exhausting.
Yes.
But someone in the overflow of being loved, that makes for easy conversations. That's
and
great.
It's very easy for people to just notice, well, she's different. So I've always been different, but all of a sudden I'm not different.
She's very different.
I mean, in a good way. Let me point that out.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The way you say it, it just seems that I'm weird.
I don't know what normal is. I like being different. That's great.
Yeah, everyone always pointed me as being different, but before was not as different as I want to be like that. Now I'm different and I'm happy, and I love talking about God, and just people say, well, they know why, at least. I want to make sure that they know why I'm different. I'm not going to hide that. But my entire life, I had this one big guilt that I have was all the time people asking me, well, how many people have accepted Jesus with you? And to how many people do you talk about Jesus? And I left for college. And whenever I would go back to Brazil and visit, it was all about that. You know, how many people have you converted already? And I was like, oh, my God, you know,
what's
no one.
Story?
Exactly. Like I had to keep up. And I'm like, I have no stories to tell. If I go back home, what am I going to tell everyone? Because everyone is asking how many great things God is doing through my life. And I would go back and I'm like, nothing. I mean, not that I see. And it was, I would feel terrible. I would say, God, I need stories. Give me something. Otherwise, people will think that I don't believe in you anymore. Or I don't know. So it was all about what people would think of me or how my life was doing based on what my eyes could see. And all of a sudden, it's just natural. I talk about it and I don't feel guilty if I don't. And I feel great if I do, and I don't put expectations on that either. If that person one day just has an encounter with God, it's going to be up to God, not up to me. There's nothing I can do to change that. Who am I? That's so great. It's very easy now, very light, very light
that's
burden.
Fantastic.
I love that. Yeah. Now, a month from now, I think somewhere in June, they're supposed to release He Loves Me in Portuguese.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
So, and the cover looks awesome. They really did a good job, I think, on the cover. I was not thrilled about the cover on the other book, but really thrilled about this one. I'm really thrilled for that information. To me, the He Loves Me material is far more important than the So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore, even though they overlap, even though there's a lot of learning to live loved and how that changes the relational dynamics of our lives. But I think there's a lot of people, they keep bugging, Vivian, when's He Loves Me going to be out? So we've been talking to the publisher, seeing when it's coming down the pike. So
Oh, that's fantastic.
That'll be fun for them. And then they're trying to bug me to come back, but...
Oh, we can't wait for that either.
Oh.
Come on, Wayne.
Yes.
The barbecue alone is worth it.
I know. We tried to exactly. find Brazilian barbecue and somewhere
I bet you wanted
LA.
The fried bananas.
We couldn't find it. We had to go to In-N-Out.
Yeah, we tried to find
oh,
one. Yeah,
I was like,
oh, this
how
is
can you
a
change
real
that,
bummer, man. That's not right.
There's one in Burbank. Let's go some night.
Okay.
We'll try it out down there.
Yes.
That'd be good.
And you must have fried bananas.
Fried bananas?
I don't know if you're easier on trying things than he is. On the
I
first
had frog
day.
Legs, so if I, I'm
oh
sure
God.
I can handle.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
oh look
no.
at your face. Oh. God loves frogs, too.
How can you compare fried bananas to frog
I
legs?
No, I've never had those. I never had frog legs either, but I was
there's
adventurous.
No comparison.
There's just some things you shouldn't do to a banana. Or a frog.
Or a frog. Thank you.
I'm pretty
I'll go with
right.
you on that one.
They have in common.
And they, yeah, and they did the same to both
wow.
of them.
Oh, they probably no. did it to Jesus, too.
Some things are meant to be fried. So not so much.
No.
So we get her here for a couple of days to enjoy my family. So so glad you made time for us to come in. And we roped her into this. We said we wouldn't keep her for the whole podcast. We'd let her go at some point. So, but we got you for most of it.
Oh, I'll keep quiet from now on then. I'm just in the audience now.
Well, you can stay with us if you want. You can leave if you want. You can chime in if you want. We're just going to keep yakking a little bit longer and see where
but
we end up.
Thank you for sharing what went on. That was really neat because it was fun to watch Wayne when he came back because obviously I knew something wonderful had happened, but he's so relationally driven and to find the kind of friendship that was established between the two of you, it was neat mm-hmm. to just look and see how that impacted him.
It was like picking up another daughter. It really was. Because she's snarky like my daughter. And
very had, good.
We had a lot
I
of fun.
Am not.
But my daughter's also a real Jesus walker, a real loving Jesus, following him kind of gal. And so we had a lot of fun. I wanted to meet Sarah, so we're glad that that got to happen as yes. well. And so now she's going to hang around here for a couple of days. So for all of you who have written us and said, you guys, why don't you stop having just authors on your podcast? Why don't you get some normal people? This is about as normal as we could find.
No,
I'm not sure.
We can't find any normal people. I don't know normal people. I'm not sure I ever knew normal people.
So thank you, Vivian. Thanks for talking to
You're
us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. So what else is going on with you?
We're raising our little hound.
Now you still got that
He's
hound going.
Fast
on.
Doubling in size. It's marvelous.
Really?
You know it,
you
know
what? You do
honestly,
when you get a big
it
hound.
Is. It is really fun. I recognize that. He settles down because there's time spent. And I realize that our lives are like that. You know what?
Wow, you're going deep here on
me. Yeah, I'm serious. I have so enjoyed
Mickey
just
Mouse
loving up
too.
On our little puppy and looking at him. He can get in trouble when he hasn't had relationship. And I went, man, that is totally true about life. When there's time spent, all of a sudden he just settles down and he's absolute blast. When he hasn't, and you can see he's lonely or he's kind of bored or whatever, that's when it's like, you know, he starts getting into trouble.
What can I destroy?
Yeah, and yeah. I think I know people like that.
Too much time on their hands yeah, well, and not enough Jesus time, huh?
I do. I think, I mean, I notice in my own life, it's like when I have spent time with the Lord, even amidst the anxieties and stuff that can go on, I find my own heart just sort of settling in and being okay. So that's my deep thought for the day, Wayne.
That's good. I was out the other day sitting on my hill and just having some time over some unsettling things in my life, and they are many at the moment. But just being able to sit there and enjoy him and come back inside, nothing circumstantially in my life has changed at all. But the settledness is a great word. There's a settledness in my heart of I'm settled in him, so the other stuff is stuff he's going to have to work out somehow, which I don't know how that's going to work out, but... I get that. Time with him is definitely, and I know he's always with us, but that time when we draw away to that, I mean, Jesus did it often. I mean, working on some Jesus stories these days, you and I, and how often he felt the need to just draw aside to the Father. It wasn't that God wasn't always with him. He didn't have an ongoing conversation with God, but those moments when I just got to get away from everything else and just live in you and know you. And I don't, you know, I didn't think I got any great revelation from God sitting out there. I mean, I didn't even write anything in my journal, but I just had time at peace with him. And that settles things in my heart. So I like that.
Yeah, it's fun. Our little St. Bernard puppy, Bodhi, his biggest excitement is one to see you. Then he's got to taste you and lick you. And then he's learning to just sort of sit down. And it's funny because he'll just look and his neck will go back. You're like, gosh, that's got to be made of rubber because I don't know how to make my neck go back like that. And it's just this.
He's short still. When he gets taller, you won't have to go back
know.
So far.
Yeah,
well, he'll look you right in the eyeball.
I'll have to look up.
There you go. Yep.
But there's that intent gaze of his heart that I'm just going like, golly, there's something that I don't know. It has touched me. I've so enjoyed just sitting in the backyard, enjoying his presence, going like, gosh, Lord, there's something about this that is really doing something in my spirit of just realizing. I want to draw that kind of life. I want that kind of excitement. And the sad thing of a religion is it takes all the joy of those things and turns it into a chore or a competition. And you're just going like, gosh, it ruins everything. But when there's just that overflow of I want relationship and out of that comes a settledness and an appreciation for life, that's what, I don't know, I've been getting that from my dog.
That's cool.
Dyslexic God, you know.
Everything I learned about God, I learned from my St. Bernard puppy.
Yeah, there you go.
that can work pretty well. Absolutely. Couple of announcements that might be helpful to people who hang out.
Announcements?
Yeah, can you believe this?
This is like a church service. What do you mean announcements?
Okay, a couple of news items.
Okay, news items.
A couple news of flash. Updates.
There you go.
People
updates.
Who listen
like
to the
that.
Podcast who would care about
That's
these things.
That's far better than announcements. I like that.
I'm not so reactive as you. I don't mind announcements, but anyway.
I don't know. I just had a knee-jerk, you know, church reaction.
Got an email from Kenya this week, an update going on there. So that's posted at lifestream.org, and we'll provide a link from there to here. But I asked Sarah, I said, you know, because the need is ongoing. Malaria has just been huge there, and kids are sick, and getting them in hospitals and out, and they just run out of money, and it has really been very, very difficult for them. But he was writing to express his thanks and kindness. Sarah said over almost $27,000 has come in since Kent and I have been home from Kenya.
Oh, how cool is that?
And we don't hit it. We don't beg for it. I update it now and then on the blog. We talk about it sporadically on here, but to just imagine that kind of generosity from people who listen to this thing, who just, you know, send a check or whatever. And Sarah said she did. A lot of people have asked, can you do a recurring thing? Can I just do a monthly kind of thing, you know, charge? And Sarah can set that up if you call our Lifestream office. She can set up for you just a recurring. If you want to give a monthly amount to Kenya for a while, you can do that. Until
How
you don't
fantastic.
Want to. But yeah, I was really blessed because we have sent a lot of money there. We always, as I said earlier, we send money when the need is there, whether we have it in yet or not. And it's always been amazing to me that, because she'll say, you know, we're right up now almost to the amount that we sent. I'm going, cool, it's time to send some more and see what God provides. So that's been fun and really blessed by those who've stood with us and helping people you don't know, but I know. And, you know, some of those people in the last hospital visits for the malaria patients were people whose home I was in. And they're people I know. And it's just so different when it's a need in Africa or
versus
my
the face of someone that
it's
you've
my brothers
met.
And sisters there. So that's pretty wild. Also, for those who have just really been frustrated trying to get back to the old feeds on the previous archive feeds on their iPod. Now, I don't know how to do this, but there's a tutorial on the website now so you can do it. But there's actually a link where you can download the podcasts by year through your podcast provider, whether it's iTunes or whatever. So you can get all the podcasts from 2005, all of them 2004, 2003. So people who are that deranged, they're there. And they all come in order, so you can listen to them that way. And some brother just set that up for us, just did that, wrote that whole feed himself just to say, this is how I wanted to hear him, so hopefully other people will be blessed
how
by
How cool
it.
Is that?
Then our web
can,
guy.
Can we tease him with what's going on, with what somebody's doing?
I don't know what you're talking about yet, so sure.
Someone's going back and listening to all the God Journey stuff.
Oh, that. There's so many good things we got going on. I don't know what you want to tell them. I got other things I'd like to tell them.
And they're pulling out all the sort of like eureka, revelatory, notable things that get said. And it's like, what a thrill. Because he was feeding back a few. And I'm like, wow, that's really good. Where's that from?
You said it in 2003.
No, I'm pretty sure I know. You probably said it, but it's so fun to just go like, there's nothing scripted here, and the joy of going, there's a real live conversation with God with some marvelous things that just pop out that can bring life to your day, and someone has so enjoyed what's happened over the last 5 years, he's wanting to pull all of that out and chronicle that in something that we can make available. I thought that was a blast. I went, wow.
That is pretty cool. And I don't know how to respond to stuff like that because I know I'm involved in that process happening. But I'll see quotes that people will pull out of a podcast show we did 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they'll put it on the forum or a blog or comment or whatever. And I look at it going, wow, I remember when that came out, but I didn't.
Amen, brother. You were good.
No one thought about it before, and I hadn't thought about it since. Going, wow, there's some wonderful little nuggets that just slip out in the middle of a conversation, and the fact that somebody's going to pull those together, that's kind of exciting.
Well, I think the thing that I so enjoy about, you know, what we're doing is it hardly ever feels like there's any work. There is a life-giving conversation. What Vivian was talking about as far as the enjoyment, the ease of which, you know, God just becomes part of what's going on. I look at that and go, like, there's nothing I've done in my life for 5 years that has just been easy. I mean, nothing. And yet there has been such life out of just an ongoing friendship and a conversation that when I look at the just the volume of emails that come in and what people find, you're just going, like, one, I don't know how they found out about it. Two, I have no idea how God can circumvent life and time and just somehow feed them something that just fits with their life circumstance. That you're just going, like, we don't know anything about that.
Yeah, and I know from books I've written and things that I've said, I'll go back and if I read through He Loves Me or the Jake book, and there'll be some little short, pithy statement there, I'm going, I don't remember writing that. I honestly don't know
who snuck that in
where
there?
That came from. Well, I look at it, you know, when Jesus says to Peter, when he finally says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, he goes, ooh, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you. That's how I feel about those moments. Those are the really Jesus moments where he slides something in because you're talking so fast you don't even know what you're saying. And he slips it in on you and you go, wow, that's...
Yeah, that's just him.
It is him. And people are like, oh, wait, that was brilliant. I'm going, yeah, I don't really.
No, I know me.
I don't think that's, I don't think those are a flesh and blood moment. I think that's, and when those happen, like in New York recently, when I was up there a weekend or so ago, and it happens almost everywhere I go, we're in the middle of a conversation, and I'll say something. It'd be one of those kinds of, what I look back and say, Jesus moments. Never said it before. Don't even know if I had the thought before. It just came out in the conversation. And someone goes, ooh, can you repeat that? And I'm going,
no.
Absolutely not. My mind is already two sentences ahead of what
repeat
I just said.
What?
But I'll, half a second before I get asked about it, I'll sit there and go, ooh, that was good. I mean, that's what I'm thinking in my head. I like that. And then someone go, can you repeat that? I'm going,
no. I really wish I could.
And so then we all kind of parse it out for a moment and try and figure out what exactly I said. But yeah, that's weird. But I love those moments. I love when God just slips life into life.
Yeah.
And you know, it becomes real.
The other fun thing is he's also going to chronicle all the very funny, crazy things. I think that was your suggestion. I'm going, like,
it was.
Well, that's a hoot. What people don't know is there's times that we have just bust up laughing that we couldn't waste 20 minutes on a podcast with, but we laughed that long.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we shut it off. That would have been fun. But there are enough of those moments that just catch each other by surprise that we're thinking that would be a fun CD to have of just people –
enjoying life. I mean, that's the thing that so took me back as far as like when we were in Nashville in White Bluff, people's enjoyment of just being able to laugh, because most people's experience of religion or the pursuit of God is all serious.
Absolutely.
And I'm going, like, life hurts too much to be that serious about it.
Yeah. So this is from George on our blog. You'll like this. Fits right into what you just said. He was coming on the Whoever Has an Ear podcast. He said, now next to my favorite Eric Clapton Unplugged, I have a CD titled Wayne and Brad Unclogged. I think that might have been that Methodist toilet cleaning guy. And he says,
Unclogged.
He went on and wrote this. I love this. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Listen to this sentence. I laughed myself whole.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that a great statement?
Oh, wow.
W-H-O-L-E.
I laughed myself whole. Oh, wow. That's really good.
That is amazing.
I've never heard that before.
I haven't either. We ought to get that into the book.
It's well
said. I laughed myself whole. That's a great way to say it. This is kind of a desperate, you know, we'll just got a little bit of time left. We'll cover some emails. But name withheld on this one. It's about the Preacher Tainer podcast.
Uh-huh.
After reading the Jake book, which we always, so you don't want to go to church anymore, we call it the Jake book to save all that time. But anyway,
easier.
And listening to the podcast, I have grown numb to the preacher taining that occurs in churches. I long to be part of an authentic fellowship or just seek to live it out without the burden of church work, not to be compared with the work of the church, which is totally different. My question is this: how do I keep doing church in the traditional sense? And I am a wife of a very good pastor, preacher, trainer, without being unsupportive of his ministry and calling. He is currently reading the Jake book. Our church is a very traditional Black Baptist church, and I hate to admit it that I sometimes dread making the drive there. Help from the preacher's wife.
Offer to do the coffee.
Offer to do the coffee? Yes. Get out of the building.
Yeah. Just
child care.
No, coffee. No, get in the narthex.
Narthex. Wow, that's an old word.
It is, all right.
Well, Vivian doesn't even know what a narthex is.
I don't even know what a narthex is.
There's no Portuguese translation for narthex.
The whatever space is not in the room. But you know what? I always used to watch people that, you know, did their deal and then just kind of there's so much relationship that happens there that is full of life. If it's not working in the main hall, and it's just because it's not life-giving, doesn't mean that you've got to separate from the rest of the body or even being there. But there's a lot of life that goes on in that narthex place that is just people going, you know what, that might be good. I don't need to even commentate on that, but I need something different. I need a real dynamic.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be the expectation of the preacher-tainer's wife to be in the front row smiling?
Not if she was serving herself. So, I mean,
I'm getting a lot of these emails, to be honest with you.
No, I know. I'm not dismissing that. I just think, honestly, maybe that's not the option.
Right.
Okay, I mean, obviously, the challenge here goes much deeper.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't want to make light of that.
Good.
But I do think that, you know what, in the midst of what's going on, there doesn't need to be a statement about something else. I have so enjoyed recognizing that, you know, my wife and I have found our way onto the same page, but we didn't start there.
Right.
And any agenda I tried to get her to see it the way I was seeing it, that never worked. And in the course of time, it just found us both in a life-giving place of being in the same vein. Love your husband. Just be supportive of him, but don't have an expectation that that's what's going to bring life for you, because obviously it's not.
Well, you don't know. When I read her little note, I was thinking, I sometimes dread making the drive there. I remember my last year or two in being the preacher-tainer, I remember getting in my car going, I'll be glad when this is over. I'm driving the thing I'm teaching at.
So she, I hope I'm good, and I'm glad when it's done.
No, even if I am good, I guess what I felt like, there was something about this whole thing that even though I could play it well, it was diminishing something that God was making me to be or wanted me to be.
I totally get that.
So you don't know, even the breast preacher-tainers, you don't know what's going on underneath all that inside and how God's shaping. But I say to so many couples, you know, spouse checked out a long time ago, they still like struggling and I still like to go, or vice versa. I think there's a lost art in the whole marriage thing of trying to find your way to us. You know, what Sarah and I both do wholeheartedly together is the best stuff in our marriage. It's not when I get Sarah to do what Wayne wants.
Right.
Or she gets Wayne to do what says. There's some things in your marriage that are like that. I mean, just are.
Right.
You know,
yeah. People are different.
Yeah, she wants to work in a garden, so she needs my help, so I go out and help in a garden with her.
That's not your gift.
It's not my gift, nor my passion. In fact, having grown up as a farmer, I hate it. But anyway, but the best things in a marriage, in the relationship, in the things you're conversing about, and the decision you're making, is finding our way to us. What makes you happy? What makes me happy? Can we find an us that we can both wholeheartedly give ourselves? Isn't quite what you want, not quite what I want. And the things we both give ourselves wholeheartedly to, that's the best stuff in marriage. And so even couples you're not on the same page today, don't give up. You know, like, don't do that manipulation, got to get you on my page thing, because like you said, that never works.
Yeah.
But finding your way into a conversation that's non-manipulative and just, you know, I've been thinking about this and kind of hungering for this, wonder where you're at with it, and finding, and hopefully, I think the marriages that work is both partners have a passion for us, not just me and you, have a passion for the us part of the relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to be aware of the things that are life-giving and life-producing, those cannot be options. Those are necessities. and to be able to realize, you know what, I need this, and I need it at whatever frequency that life is, I got to make sure that I attend to that. Because I think that's what gives you the patience to go through the things that don't do that. Yep. And I don't know any life out there that is just all life and no challenge.
Right.
And I found, you know, because when I was younger, was not a patient person. I've just found myself in a much different place where it's like, you know what? I love the people around me more than the what I'm doing. That wasn't true.
Absolutely. I get that. Yeah.
And now that it is true, I find this incredible ability to be patient in situations where I used to not be.
Not have any. Couldn't find it, couldn't buy it.
Could define a way, you know, how unspiritual they were because they were preventing me from doing the thing. And just going like...
I always defined my impatience as righteous indignation. It was just easy.
You don't have to repent from that.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's totally safe.
You have to repent for provoking it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the way to live.
Man, religion is powerful.
Huh? And then Phil sent us this. I don't usually like canned stories, but I thought this was hilarious. Johnny's mother looked out the window and noticed him playing church with their cat. He had the cat sitting quietly, and he was preaching to it. She smiled and went about her work. A while later, she heard loud meowing and hissing and ran back to the open window to see Johnny baptizing the cat in a tub of water.
Oh, there you go. I was going to say, it was a Pentecostal cat.
And she said, she called out, "Johnny, stop that. The cat's afraid of water." Johnny looked up at her and said, "He should have thought of that before he joined my church."
That's not right.
Stupid cat. Or join the church. Boy, the things you find out after you join. That's scary.
And the powers of rationalization, because that is exactly what I was just saying in a different context, going like, yeah, well, it's them.
Yes.
Yeah. What's wrong with them?
Everybody knows it's better to be a recruit than a client. Always better. And then George says this, we'll be done. "I love the format you use. It seems like a talk show, but the overall impact is like that of the best Bible study or sermon I've heard."
How cool is that? That's proof and evidence. Jesus must be present, because that's not us.
Yeah, I think Vivian knows better. We come in here without ever preparing for this thing. We don't have a set of notes, so we get some email sometimes or a topic in our heads, but just the normal conversation.
Because gotta go.
That's gonna be
out of here.
See you later.
Thank you for traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.